Hey folks, my name's Brett, and I'm one of the hosts of Skeleton House, an audio-only Let's Play podcast where my two friends Jess...
What is happening? Oh my god!
...and Steve...
Even he looks spooked.
...play through video games, and I edit them, add context, and act as your eyeballs. Also, we have a cat. Come check us out at skeletonhouse.buzzsprout.com, or look up Skeleton House on your favorite podcast app. Or your least favorite podcast app. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life.
Welcome to the RPG After Years, your weekly show covering all things RPGs from the past, present, and future. This is an extra episode for the Phantasy Star 4 RPG Club. It's episode 132. I'm your co-host, Scott.
And I am your other co-host, Rich.
And the time has finally come. We are kicking off the second and third legs of the Phantasy Star 4 RPG Club, and we're going to be covering both segments. Right, so we've been a little busy over here on our side of the things, and we completely missed covering the second leg, so we're doing both today, right, Rich?
That is absolutely correct.
Yep, so today is the due date for the third leg of the RPG Club, and now we are kicking off the fourth leg today. And just as a reminder, if you are playing along with us for Phantasy Star 4, the new due date is Sunday, November 20th, and your goal is to complete the game. Let's go. Boop, 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 yes. Hey, I got a sound effect for that. Okay, without any dilly-dally shilly-shallowing, shall we get to the club, Rich?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
All right, everyone, quiet down. All rise. We're here today to bring to order the next session of the RPG Club. All in favor? All opposed? And looks like the ayes have it. Then let the RPG Club commence!
Dang, Rich, we're getting close to the end of our last official RPG Club. How does it feel?
It feels weird. Why does it seem like this is going a lot faster than the other ones have?
Well, to be fair, I think this is the shortest game we've played for a club.
Oh, okay.
I don't think we've had one shorter than four segments, right? Or even one that was four segments.
I don't think so. That's why I'm confused. I was like, dang, this seems like a lot faster than what we've done in the past.
Right. So, again, we are covering the second and third legs of the Phantasy Star 4 RPG Club. And we're going to be talking about both segments of that today. So the second segment, I believe, the goal was to reach the ice planet of Desolus. And so we're going to start with that part. But before we jump into the inner workings of what happened in the second part, what's the vibe? Let's do a vibe check on this game, Rich.
This vibe is not feeling so good.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Like, okay. I know Disa loves Phantasy Star. I know Bill loves Phantasy Star. I think he does. But, yeah, I don't know. This does not... I don't feel it. I'm not feeling anything, hardly, because it started out strong and then just dropped drastically. Like, I don't know what the deal is. Like, the storyline itself seems to be kind of convoluted. Basically, you're going here, and then you're going there, and then you're doing a dungeon, and then you're fighting a boss, and then it repeats itself.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I thought the second segment was decent or pretty good. We'll get to the third segment, but the third segment for me has been just like I'm going through the motions, kind of. It feels like just a series of fetch quests, really. You probably didn't listen to it, but last week Bill did the episode. It was with Brett from Skeleton House. It was a Phantasy Star 3 review, and they really hated on Phantasy Star 3. They didn't like it. So,
well, that's good.
And we'll get to the feedback here as well. You mentioned Disa. I don't think she's too into this game either.
Oh my God! See, I'm not the only one. I'm so excited.
Yeah. But they did say something in that Phantasy Star 3 review that I thought was a good quote. It was something like, "This is the game you give to people who think they don't like RPGs to reaffirm that belief," kind of. So, like, this is as RPG as RPG gets. And it's like,
yeah. Well, isn't 4 supposed to be like the best one?
I think that's the general. I barely know anything about Phantasy Star, but I think that's the general feeling I've got from what I've seen online about this game since we started the club. I will say though, I don't think it's bad. I think it's perfectly fine.
It's warm. It's lukewarm.
It just barely manages to be entertaining enough for me to stay. I don't think invested is the right word, but like not hate life while I'm playing it, I guess.
See, I'm borderline right there. I'm like, I'm almost hating life as I play it. No. I'm playing and I'm like, you know, I could really go do lawn work instead.
Yeah. No, that's terrible.
I should do adult stuff.
Yeah.
I should do adulting.
So. Yeah. So we've broken up the segments today. We're going to let Rich do the heavy lifting on segment 2, and I will do the heavy lifting on segment 3. But I think you said you had a confession about that, right?
I do. The reason why I picked section 2 is because I actually did finish section 2. So yay for me. I'm still caught up. Well, I was. But I really fail off on section 3. Like, I barely got into section 3. Oh. Just to be honest, like, I was like, I'm gonna play it. I sat down, booted it up, walked 5 steps.
Shame.
I know.
Shame.
I know. But it really would not be an RPG club without me getting a few shames. Just saying.
It's true.
But I got in. I walked around for like 3 minutes. Like, took 3 steps and go, I'll get to this later. It kept happening.
You just kind of like gotta force yourself to do it because it's not like it's hard or.
No, it's not. I mean, the stuff's easy as long as you understand it. The one thing I don't like about this game, one of the other many things I don't like about this game, the main one is the fact that I don't know shit about any of the skills or items or anything.
I always have to have like a list pulled up on the side.
I hate that. The names don't even make sense. Well, no. Except for like RES is restore.
Yeah. And then
I get that G res, which is. Giant, which res restore,
which is good because that's like the only one you ever need, really.
Exactly. So, but there's that. But everything else is just listen. Who made this or who translated this or whatever? You sir need to be punched. You sir or woman.
I agree.
Need to be tripped downstairs.
Jesus.
Just saying, because okay. I don't understand what your reasoning was. But yeah, that's really one of the biggest gripes I have about this game is that you don't understand like what. The hell you're selecting.
Yeah.
So anyways,
the guide, which is the game facts guide we've referenced before, that we based our segments off of for the boss battles, it always like tells you kind of exactly what to do. It's like, use this spell with this person and then this spell with this person. So I'm like, I usually just do that.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing too.
But I know that there are other people playing along that don't even bother with that. They just, you know, attack and heal and that's it.
Well, good for them. They're crazy. but I do love the fact that on my Switch, I could do the reverse feature. So if I fuck up, pardon my language, I get to just, you know, zip right back and redo it.
Well, it's important because you get so much experience from boss battles. So yeah. If one of your characters dies, they're going to be behind a little bit, even from just one boss battle. So I also use rewind if I die unexpectedly.
Other gripe is there's not many freaking revival things.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're better off now at the point in the game we're in on that front, but like early on in the game, there was like, I felt like there was no way to revive. Like you were just fucked until you can get back to an inn. So
correct. Yeah. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Sorry. People who love this game, but yeah.
Okay. Should we jump into it then?
Yeah. Let's dissect the stories.
Let's see. Last time when we left off what was the first checkpoint?
Checkpoint was to get to the wreckage. So after you kind of made your way up, you've done all that. So now you're on the way to your wreckage.
That's like right after you first recruit Rika and the nervous system explodes, right? Am I thinking of the right area?
I'm trying to think. Yes. So
okay. That sounds right to me too.
Yep. All right. So after you've done that, you make your way to, you detour to a fort. You kind of make your way to Kandri. So you get past everything. You make your way to the fort. Kandri, you resupply. And your whole goal now is to make your way to a tower. Because you've decided to rescue Demi, which is in the fort of Zeo. Because Zeo's holding that. But you need Demi in order to maintain the system to basically restart everything. Correct? I'm not thinking mistakenly here.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Okay. So you make your way up to the tower. You're just fighting things. Honestly, this is really all what it is. Once you make it to the top, you find a disciple of Zeo, which is Juza.
Which, as a refresher, at this point, Zeo is our big bad. He's been going around turning people to stone, and he just wants like the destruction of everything.
Yeah, he has big shoulder pads.
Yes.
Really big shoulder pads. So you make your way up, you fight Juza, who is his disciple, which is weird because there's no other ones that are there, or you never hear about these guys.
Yeah, that guy just comes out of nowhere.
Like, yeah, you just think he's something. So you defeat him. How'd you fare with this guy?
Honestly, I haven't really... that was long ago enough now that I don't remember it super well, but I don't remember really struggling with any of the bosses necessarily.
Yeah. Oh, I did forget to mention, the very base of the tower, there is a area that's blocked off by a force field, and you make a comment about that. There's people like Rika saying that the system, the fort is built on top of the structure of the whole planet's systems, so you can't get into there. So you're going to the top, you fight Juza, then you take on Zeo.
Yep, and this is a one of those classic RPG fights that is impossible to win.
Correct. So you just have to hold on for dear life.
Right.
So yeah, I tried to do that, and then I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna get this guy. I think I'm, you know, a pretty good level." And no, I get wiped hard. So
he also summons like his god, right? During this Dark Force.
I think so. I think it's his god or an image of his god or something. But he does magic barrier, which is old magic.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really do anything to him. Well, there are a cutscene that happens where, you know, they're all trying to fight him off. They're all like getting their asses whooped. Was it Chaz is like making comments? Zeo takes a shot at Chaz, basically. Alice jumps in the way, gets hit in the back. They all get teleported away somehow after they've rescued, or after they've gotten, was it Demi?
Yeah.
So they finally got Demi before they undid that, and then Zeo showed up, and that's where everybody's at. So they all... or not the base of the tower, so all of a sudden Alice gets sick, and she is basically down for the count. You have to take her all the way back to Krupp. Luckily, you don't have to do that yourself. It does it for you.
Thanks, game.
Yes, thank you, game. So the game, there's a cutscene that happens. They all talk about what's going on. Alice is definitely sick and dying. They can't figure out what's going on. She starts whispering and frantically telling everybody to find Rune. Rune can save everybody. Like, he's the only one that has the old magic. He can disable it. And then she passes out. Han stays because I don't remember why he stayed. I really have no idea why.
I think just Han and his wife were like going to be Alice's caretakers, basically.
Yeah, because they're doctors, I think, supposedly. Yeah. So Demi then explains about Nuvarus is at the bottom of the tower, that you need to shut that off in order to... or at least restart it in order to make sure everything gets put back to normal. I think that's basically what it is. Then when you leave the town...
they're basically trying to stop climate change is like the whole point of most of the things you do in this game. So.
yeah, it is like, you know, now we're trying to stop climate change. But this is like caused by
an underground supercomputer somewhere that probably we need to go activate.
It's the aliens. Aliens are doing it. So once you leave the town, Demi takes everybody to a secret base, like definitely like not even if you're to look at it in a distant space, like a couple miles away from the town, just randomly underground, a base. And you go in and you unlock the Land Rover. You get a vehicle.
Yeah. And this is pretty cool. Like in practice, it's not all that useful or helpful. It's just to get past certain like roadblocks to get to areas you couldn't get to before. But it's cool that they did like a separate, almost like a separate battle system for when you're in the vehicles.
Yeah, I wish that was kind of cool. You blasted things away and everything. But there's like one monster that you could defeat only while you're in the Land Rover. It's those giant worms, which is fine. You can kill it there. But if you're on your on feet, no, you have to run. So,
well, you can beat them, but it's very hard. So.
Did you beat them?
There's a side quest that involves defeating one. So, yeah.
Of course you did. Of course you did side quest.
There's not that many side quests. Like, you know, you just go back to the Hunter's Guild and they have like a list of quests for you. And I think so far there's only been four or five of them. And then, you know, you can't, as of where we are in the story, you can't go back to the main planet yet. So I haven't had to do any in a while.
Oh, well. All right, so you basically then make your way to a town to rest. I can't remember the name of the town, but you talk with Demi. They go upwards to deal with the planet's plate tectonics because everything starts rumbling.
Oh yeah, the earthquake town. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm not really sure why you stop at this town. You just do. But Gris freaks out because he doesn't like earthquakes, so that's kind of funny.
It's been so long now. I forgot about Grease entirely. It's like, oh yeah, that character.
There's a lot of character swap. It's funny. Yeah. So once you get that, you'll have to reset the deal. Reset it will stabilize briefly, but they still need to find runes. So once they do that, it actually just stops everything from shaking. So it feels like the system itself is going out of whack, because it is. So, but they have to get to the main Nuvarus to actually stop all the issues. So after you leave the town, you go down south, you find a tower. Again, you find another tower. You're just making your way at the top. You run into Rune at the top there, but he stops. He's like, Chaz is explaining what has happened. He explains that Alice has been hurt. They need help. But Rune basically explains like, hey, I'm going to the top of this tower. I've got to get the Psycho Wand. It's a weird name for it. In order to break Zio,
you can never get rid of the Psycho Wand out of your inventory, even when you get stronger weapons. So,
Oh well. So once you're done with that, you have to go to the top. They explain, like, fine, we'll help you. Let's just go. We got to get back to Alice. So after that's done, they make their way to the top. They grab the Psycho Wand, and then this guy Lagera. In order to take the staff, you have to defeat this thing. It's just a dragon boss fight. What do you think of this?
I like the design of it. That's one thing I will give this game is I think in general the monster design is pretty cool. But yeah, I didn't really struggle with it to my memory.
I had to do a couple rewinds.
Okay.
And then because I didn't get the order right, no, I had a character die, so I had to do that. I had to fix that. So thank God for rewind.
I'd like to know what's going on with the enemy AI in this game, because I have noticed on the few occasions where I did need to rewind to prevent a death, it would take like 5 or 6 times before the boss did something different other than, you know, like kill that character that was the death. So.
Really? Like I would rewind and it wouldn't do the same thing.
Maybe I'm just unlucky.
Probably. So once you defeat him, the cutscene happens. They're basically talking about what's going on. I think Chaz basically explains like, hey, Alice is very sick. Zio poisoned her. And Rune's like, we got to get back immediately. You get back and Alice explains, or basically Rune starts talking to her and everything. And then, you know, she dies.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
What did you think about that whole sequence?
I didn't care too much.
Okay. See, for me, this specific part was pretty effective, if I'm being honest. Like, Alice was my favorite character in a cast of characters I don't give much of a shit about. So,
well, I can see that. I mean, she was okay. Like, I liked her. She was a strong character.
I like how she was kind of like a boss bitch. She got what she wanted. She said exactly what she needed to make what she wanted to happen. She was always kind to Chaz. She was never cruel. And on top of that, she was like the best character in battle because, you know, she was the only one that has AoE at that point in the game.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So it just kind of sucked. And you get that whole segment where, you know, you see her grave and Rune tries to comfort Chaz, but then Chaz says something about how before Alice he was like kind of not a great person, but then once he started working with Alice, you know, he got some money and things got better after that. And Rune's just like, if you think that all Alice gave you is money, then you're fucked up, basically. So
yeah.
And then there's also the scene where Rika comes out and tries to comfort him, and but she starts crying too. She's talking about something else entirely. And I'm like, bitch, this ain't about Eve right now. but yeah, for me, it was a good part. Probably the strongest scene / part of the game. But to add insult to injury, you know, you lose Alice, but also Han leaves at this point. Or
yeah,
he goes back home or whatever. Which also sucks because Han was like the other character that I kind of liked. So it's like, okay, just get rid of my faves. It's fine.
Yeah. Just stop getting attached, Scott. That's just, yeah. Just stop that.
Yeah.
It's weird, though, that this game does swap out characters a lot because there's other characters you're going to find.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to that in a second. So basically now you have Rune in your party. You also have Demi in your party. So now you have those two. Now they decided to, we have to go back. We have the Psycho Wand. We can now get into the barrier. So once you make your way back to the tower using the Land Rover, or you can just zip there.
Yeah.
So the group makes their way back to the tower. Now, you don't have to go up the tower this time. You have to go through the barrier. So there's a little small cutscene. The barrier gets taken down. They discuss old magic, which is not supposed to be around anymore, but there is. Once you get down to the bottom, Zeo shows up. Now, here's a trick, guys. You have to use a Psycho Wand.
Right. It's like a... This is a weird comparison, but in Paper Mario, the final boss, you have to use the star rod on to before you can start attacking. So it reminded me of that.
So once you do that, he is able to be taken down. And then you just whip his ass.
Yeah. And because, you know, he's directly responsible for Alice's death, I was like full scale, like, murder this fucker.
Die. So, yep, he dies. But it's weird that as he disappears, he starts forsaking his god. He's like, why did you do this? You know, I've done everything for you. And he just disappears. And then you go down to the tower or go into the tower, find the computer system. But you can't, Demi can't shut it down from basically the terminal. She has to actually go inside the system itself in order to shut it down. The bad part is she realizes that it's not Nuvrus that's causing the problem. It's the signal from a satellite that's orbiting the planet. So you have to go on ahead and go in, and then you get a ship. It's weird that there's a ship now inside there. So she explains that you have to go talk to her friend Ren, who is the one person on that satellite that she's lost communication with, that actually should be a way to help shut that down and make it so that the whole planets can be fixed.
Right. So you do lose Demi at this point as well, but to be honest, I didn't really give a fuck about Demi, so
she wasn't there that long, so it didn't matter. You shut it down and you then go up to the sky, and it's a nice little cutscene where you're flying through the air.
You do get to go to space in this game. And like unlike Star Ocean, from what I understand.
You know what? Don't you sass that game. That's a way better game than this is.
Have you played the new one?
Yes, a little bit.
You like it?
A little bit
so far?
Yeah, it's not bad. A lot of people love it, which is good. So you're now in the satellite. You meet up with Ren, who looks like a big cyborg, which is funny. Ren then is there. You know, you talk. He's like, okay, we got to go do this. But the problem's not coming from here. It's coming from another place. So they have to go to the next satellite to actually take care of it. But some weird thing, why, I don't know why there's a boss here, Chaos Sorcerer or whatever. He basically causes the ship to go out of whack. When you kill him, you crash land into this ice planet called Dizelos, which is just a big ice planet with more aliens. You meet Raja, who forces his way into the group, and there you go.
He's like
that is the end of checkpoint.
The people of this planet are green men. Think Piccolo, like the Namekians from Dragon Ball.
Oh, and gotcha.
Raja, or Raha, however you say it, his whole thing is he's like a priest or something, but he's also, he jokes a lot. He's always telling dad jokes. But yeah, that's where segment two ends. It's overall, I would say this is probably the strongest segment so far, just because of the drama with Zio and Alice and all that. But yeah, so we do have some feedback for this section. We'll start off with Frost. Frost says, to call this game generic would be an understatement. Find a town, find a tower, climb tower, get item, next town / tower. I agree with what he's saying there, but like, yes. if you really wanted to, you could simplify any game to that extent, you know? So,
yes, you could.
He continues on. This game feels like a knockoff version of FF4, where party members keep going and going and dying. I think during my streams of this game, I said almost something exactly like that. So, about FF4. Based on this, I think a bunch of these characters are going to return before we reach the moon. Alice's death didn't really resonate with me and at all. All it did was get my guard up that my party was going to keep changing throughout the game. See also Demi and Han, etc. With fast forward, I've only played for 4.5 hours total, so at least I haven't had to slog through this too much. Since I haven't stopped to grind at all, the fight with Zio was a little tough, but at least I figured out to use the wand on him to break his magic barrier. Okay, that's such a different experience for me. I was way past 4.5 hours when I finished segment two. I don't know what my time is, but I grinded a bunch. So, we do have some audio feedback from friend of the show, Caslo. Let me make sure this is the correct clip I got pulled up before I play it, because he has one for part 3 as well. Okay, here we go.
Of course, the big moment of this section is the injury and eventual death of Alice. The death hits hard from both a story standpoint, Alice seemingly being the co-protagonist with Chaz, and from a gameplay standpoint, as Alice has been a machine in grinding normal encounters with her AoE boomerangs. Her death also serves for good motivation for the team to take on Zio, other than trying to save the planet by shutting down Nervous, of course. After her injury, you just want to move forward and find a way to take down Zio. This segment seemed to fly by, maybe because I had done some decent grinding, but we move pretty break fast from dungeon to dungeon without too much of a spike in difficulty. However, we do start to get some bosses that necessitate the use of techniques and magic, which is really nice. Lastly, I love that the Land Rover has its own separate battle system. It's something you see more in modern RPGs, but something like that was not being done back in the day.
I agree with him. It's nice to hear that somebody else is, at that point, was at least somewhat enjoying the game. JS says, at this point, the most difficult boss battles remain the ones that are part of optional Hunter's Guild quests. They yield the best XP rewards. Yeah, I mentioned the sandworm earlier. It was tough.
Yep.
At least the regular encounters are stepping up a bit, and I can't just mash attack. Yes, well, nah, that's still what I do, so I don't know about that. The story is not really gripping me. I felt nothing when Ellis died. Sad. I think it's because the story is given to you in big text / cutscene dumps. You know, there was a part in segment 3 that felt like an important story beat, and then afterwards I was like, why wasn't there a cutscene there? So, but that is a cool thing. And then I gave you Deesa's to read.
I was just laughing. Just Alice died. I felt nothing. All right, Deesa. Last segment definitely dragged a bit. I took forever in some places. Possibly could have done a bit more grinding, I guess. I really didn't care for Alice, so the story didn't hit quite as hard as intended. Super excited for the ice planet, though. I love ice and snow in RPGs.
Well, good for you, Deesa, because the all entire right. third segment is all ice planet. So
yes.
Okay, guys, that's it for segment 2 of the RPG Club. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will move on to segment three. Okay, we are back again, and now we are ready to talk about segment three. Okay, so segment three, the goal was to... what was the goal? I made it there, wherever it was, but...
I don't remember at all. I don't.
Okay.
It's just...
The goal was to get right up to the point where you're ready to go to the air castle. I don't think that's what we have been saying, but yeah. let me look it up. Let me actually make sure I say the correct thing. I've got it pulled up here. Not this channel. This channel. I'm looking at our Discord. Join our Discord, by the way. Okay, here it is. Segment three was to finish Gumbius Temple. Okay, that's right.
There we go.
Sorry, everybody. So you reach Desolus. As we said, you've just recruited Raja, which is how I say it, but it may be Raja. I don't know. This game does not have voice acting. So. And you get to this town called Tyler, which I thought was kind of odd because it's just a weird name for a town. Like, my dad's best friend, his name was Tyler. And I lived with a guy named Tyler at one point. So
it was kind of weird.
But you start talking to the locals. You get a feeling for the Desolusians. And you also find the grave of Tyler, which is like the tomb of some hero. And in there, you find out that there is a spaceport. So you can use... You get like a ship at this point. It's like a small orca. So you get in the ship and you fly off and you get to like this space station that you think you can, you know, fix or, you know, flip a switch and then that'll correct the climate change because Desolus is going through like intense blizzards right now. So you've in this space station, this factory, by the way, this game has way too many like factory dungeons. Like I'm kind of over it at this point.
They're weird.
Yeah. So you find the Dark God, Dark Force, which was the one that was like controlling / manipulating Zio. And I was like, wow, we're fighting Dark Force already? Because I assumed this was going to be the big bad. And also, I didn't know this until Bill's Phantasy Star 3 review, but apparently Dark Force is like an evil villain that's in the other Phantasy Star games as well. Like he keeps coming back. So that's interesting.
I guess.
So you do actually kill Dark Force here, apparently, and Rune seems to dodge how he knew like that was Dark Force. So Rune is still keeping some stuff from us. So Ren resets the system of Karan and Zelen to get them all back to normal. But after this, it's like, wait a minute, that didn't fix anything down on Desolus. It's still, you know, super blizzards down there. Raja keeps telling the group that it has nothing to do with your stupid climate control systems. There's some kind of like evil curse or force going on in a certain tower somewhere. I forget what the name of the tower is. But that happens like a couple times before they were like, okay, let's go to the fucking tower. But anyway, so you go back down to Desolus and you make your way back. As the story progresses, Rune sort of explains how Dark Force might still be around, even though they defeated it. Apparently it happens every 1,000 years where Dark Force like resurrects and causes havoc in the Algo system. And I think it was around this point that I started being like, okay, I do feel like maybe I'm missing a little bit of story and lore from not having played the other Phantasy Star games. It's not quite as standalone as I thought, I think. You can play it without having played the other ones, but like it's one of those situations where it might help a little bit or you might appreciate some of the plot beats more. So you do go to this temple that's dedicated to Lutz. I don't know how you say it. And maybe it was mentioned before this. I don't really remember, but Lutz is like this world's Jesus figure. Kind of like he's not God, but he was like a saint and many, many years ago and everybody worships him. But you find out at this temple, well, first of all, you get a new character. I think her name is Kari. I better double check.
Yeah, that. I think it's Kari.
Okay. And she's cool because she has boomerangs like Alice did. So we got a couple AoE characters now, which is nice. But she's basically just like this disciple kind of this religion. There's, unless I've missed something, there's not much to her character. She's pretty boring. But anyway, the big reveal here is that Rune is like the reincarnation of Lutz for this generation. So Rune is basically like this Jesus figure. Where it's kind of weird because it's like he's not actually Lutz. He just has Lutz's spirit and memories. So I was like, I don't really get it. But
wasn't it something to do with that mirror that he finds? Like when he looks in the mirror then flashes and gives him all the information of Lutz.
That does sound right. Yeah. And apparently this is another thing that would have made more sense if we had played other Phantasy Star games. But apparently Lutz was a character in a previous Phantasy Star game.
I think he was in 2.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, playing that, you know, and loving that game many, many years ago.
But it's my understanding that the name was translated differently. So even if you had played the games, you might not make the connection. So yeah. Like his name was something else than the other Phantasy Star game in America. It's interesting, but again, it's like having not played him, it didn't do anything for me. Like it didn't matter to me. I would never have known if somebody hadn't told me.
He was like, I don't really care.
Yep. But Rune chooses Chaz as the person who is destined to destroy the Dark Force and free everyone. So that's kind of cool because, you know, Rune has kind of been critical of Chaz up to this point in the story. Just like making fun of him, calling him short all the time, that type of thing. But yeah, it's a cool little part. So then you finally go to Gumbius Temple to, and I think maybe we're missing a point here. I think it's around here where Raha falls ill from something. I don't know what exactly happened with him. It's some kind of virus, I think, but he's bedridden now. I think we also forgot to say that Grease also leaves after the whole thing with Alice.
Oh yeah, he leaves he stays behind.
Yeah, he's like, my part in this is done.
Yeah, he wanted to kill Zio. He's out. So you lose him.
Right.
Yeah.
So our party at this point is Chaz, Rin, Kari, Rika, of course, and Rune. I think that's it. I'm wondering if at this point if there's going to be any more character swaps since we're getting towards the end. But we'll see.
I don't know.
So you go to Gumbius Temple, you go to the top, and you get this relic called the Eclipse Torch, which has been our main goal for a minute at this point. You need that if you're going to truly destroy Dark Force. But of course, 3 random zealots appear out of nowhere, and they just take it. And I remember you're trying to get the torch from the church, and the guy over the church is like, no, you can't have it. It's too important. And then the people show up and steal it like right at that moment. He's like, well, you can have it if you can get it back. So
yeah. Well, in that area, yeah, sure. Go get it now for us.
Yeah. But after they leave, Chaz talks to Rune about where and what the air castle is, which is, I guess that's where Dark Force's base might be. And it's like this ancient castle that's floating in the sky. And apparently maybe this was also from a past Phantasy Star game because it must have survived the Parma system that exploded where the original Lutz fought Lashiek, and they decided that it's time to go to find the air castle and see what they find. And that makes me wonder if like the air castle was a dungeon or something in a past game, because Parma apparently exploded in one of the other games, and that's like the planet where all the humans are from.
Not anymore.
That's why they're called Parmanians, though, is when yeah. Whenever they're talking about the humans.
Yeah.
But yeah, so to be honest, also there was, I forgot to say that you get a new vehicle on Desolus at one point. I forget what it's called. It's like the Ice Digger. And it basically works just like the other digger thing. Just it can plow through snow. But it's cool to have another vehicle. That's it. I know you said you didn't finish segment 3, but to me, segment 3 was the driest of the 3 so far. Like I said, the big twist of this is that Rune is Lutz, and that, like I said, that it that didn't matter to me. So
yeah, I tried to when I was doing the document for this everything, and I was reading that section. I was like, wow, there's not a lot here.
Yeah,
yeah. The only stuff that matters is the end.
Yeah.
Of the section.
Uh huh. It's just a lot of dungeons. It's kind of like feeds directly into the criticism that we were hearing a minute ago from the listeners. Where it's just like, go here, do this, fetch quest that, all that. But hopefully the ending is strong. This is like the end of the series, right? Like there's been spinoffs, but there's no Phantasy Star 5 or anything.
I don't know, maybe.
I think that's right. So maybe the ending will impress us. Who knows?
We shall see.
Should we get into the listener feedback for this segment?
Let's do this. Let's do it. All right, so Disa explains... So I hit the checkpoint today. This segment felt like a bit of a slog. Yeah, we discussed that. Mostly because I just scrolled through some important text too fast and got lost in the space things.
Fair.
I keep thinking Phantasy Star 4 on paper improves on everything, but I really don't feel like the game has the same impact as 2 had for me. Or 1. It might be nostalgia, of course. In 2, every dungeon felt like an accomplishment, although the party changed somewhat. I felt so much time grinding with them, and I felt like I knew the characters. This one I felt like goes almost too fast. There's too many towns, too many dungeons, which leads the game feeling more repetitive to me. Definitely not disliking it, but it's not the grand end of the series I could have hoped for. Take it with a grain of salt, though. I'm highly biased, but that's how I feel so far. You know what? I feel that.
Fair. Yep. And honestly, there are a lot of towns, it feels like. And the towns, if you're like actually exploring them, I don't know why you would. I'm just weird like that. Take a minute to explore. So it does feel like it's like, oh God, fucking another town to get go through at times. JS says, please, this segment had some decent boss fights. The one against maybe not Dark Force was challenging. You know, I do remember that one being a little touch and go. But other than that, this game is still pretty boring. I feel like the writers probably feel like they had some bombshells this segment, but they were just outlandish and not interesting. Oh, Rune is Space Jesus.
Yes, he is Space Jesus.
Hey, Chaz, you have a sword and a cool haircut. Want to be the chosen one? Agreed.
This feels like Star Wars.
You know what? It kind of does a little bit. I can see that comparison. I feel like we're on... Hoth is the ice planet in Star Wars, yep. Right? That's where we're...
Yep.
We're he goes on to say, this isn't the worst game I've played. Check out Season 3 of the Super Switch Club podcast. He's talking about Echo the Dolphin, which I resent. I like Echo the Dolphin quite a bit more than this game, if I'm being honest. He says, but I'm already looking forward to nominations for the next club. I'll stick with it and finish with one segment left, but I don't have high hopes for this game getting better. Yeah, it's probably best to keep expectations in check at this point, I would say.
It's super low.
But we're almost at the end, people. Okay, and then we have another audio clip from Caslow.
This section flew by, despite doing a ton of things. I was really surprised by how quickly we got the land in, and then almost immediately defeated Dark Force, thinking, wait, isn't he the last boss of like every Phantasy Star game? I also enjoyed the mysterious valley and finding all the space kittens. It made me wonder if their leader was supposed to be Meow from the original Phantasy Star, but alas, we got no hint of that. Finally, it sucks that the reveal of Rune as Lutz loses a lot of its luster for a couple reasons. One is a translation problem. As in the original Phantasy Star, Lutz was translated as Noah, so unless you know that, it's hard to make the connection. Second, the fact that he and Kyra looked kind of similar made it hard to tell that it was Rune referring to himself in the cutscene where he revealed himself. I'm excited for the last leg of the game, though. The reappearance of Leshek as a possible villain is fun as someone who had recently played Phantasy Star 1.
Okay, again, that just makes me feel like, yeah, I am missing out on some things by not having played any other Phantasy Star game.
Eh, you're fine. Just watch the video.
We don't have a tea time with Bill, mostly because I forgot to see if he... I don't even know if he's on pace with us. I'll have to talk to him. But any final thoughts on these RPG Club segments?
I don't know. This game's pretty dull.
Yeah. It's short, guys. Though. We'll get through it. I still maintain that this is not the definitely not the worst RPG Glove game.
No, had to no.
make it through Wild Arms.
I just quit that one.
Yeah. I think we've made our thoughts known. I think it's okay. Like I said, I'm having a generally an okay time. Just going through it's just kind of going through the motions of getting through the dungeon and to the town and all that. But yeah, I guess that's it for this segment of the RPG Club. We are going to close it out and move on to our outro. That is an OC remix, number 509. It's called Last Breath, First Breath. It's a remix of the track Her Last Breath by DJ Pretzel, who is a pretty fairly well-known OC remixer, I believe. I'm assuming that plays during the Alice's death scene. And again, I want to say that part of the story worked for me. Like it. If I cared about just what was going on just a little bit more, like I might have been like legit sad. So, but that's going to be it for this episode. As for next week, I just spoke with Bill prior to recording. So Bill's not going to be ready next week. So Rich and I will be back for a news episode, some catch up, and we'll talk about, there's been some interesting stuff come out lately for us to talk about, I think just this past week. And then after that, I think we're going to do a review of Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. So look forward to that's another game Bill has forced me into playing that is worse than Phantasy Star 4. So, but speaking of the RPG Club.
All right, guys, like we've been talking about, the RPG Club game is Phantasy Star 4. That's why we're here. The checkpoint is to finish the game, which is due November 20th. So you better get on it.
And that's a Sunday as well. So You got 2 weeks as of this recording. By the time you're hearing this, you got less time. Let's all finish strong. As you guys know, this is Rich and I's last official RPG Club as co-hosts of this show. So let's power through, okay?
Yep, we got this.
Going into our plugs, if you would like to, please rate and review the show on whatever podcasting service you use to listen to us. It really helps us out. Just because Rich and I are out does not mean the podcast is also out. Bill plans on continuing things, and we will still be around. So,
watching.
Help us.
Also, tell your friends. If you've got friends that like RPGs, all the crazy things that happens in the RPG community, tell your friends. It helps us out definitely with the algorithms and you know, getting more people involved with our community. We really
Word
would appreciate
of mouth.
Yes. Patreon is another great way to support the show. The Patreon, you get early episode access, add free episodes, extra reviews, the RPG Club, and many, many more. You can find that at patreon.com/RPGAfterYears.
If you think about it one evening, remind me that I need to do the taxes for the Patreon. They won't let us have the money if I don't do the taxes. So,
stupid taxes.
I know. Speaking of, if you would like to reach out to the show, you got any questions or feedback or anything, feel free to email us. Our email address is rpgafteryears@gmail.com.
If you'd like to talk to us more in our awesome community, you can find the Discord link found in our show notes or a pinned tweet on Twitter. Come join the conversation.
Speaking of Twitter, if you would like to reach out to the show, you can find us at RPG Years. And if you want to reach out to me personally, I'm at the Scott Spot.
I mean, I have a Twitter if you want to reach out to me. It's AleBlue1569. I'm here.
Thank you all for convening the RPG Club with us and playing along. We're having a good time with it despite the the dullness of the game. Tune in next week for episode 133, in which Rich and I are going to be talking about some interesting RPG news. But until then, I'm Scott.
And I'm Rich.
Thank you for listening to the RPG After Years. Later.
Bye.
From Eric Slater, creator of Epic Fails of History, comes a bold new vision of the future in his latest book, 2299. 2299 is a sci-fi noir about a detective on the edge of the abyss. While investigating a cold case on Vanaheim, a space station orbiting Neptune, Desmond Faust finds himself ensnared in a web of lies and murder. The closer he gets to discovering the truth, the more aware he becomes that he might not leave this place alive. Eric Slater's 2299 is available now on Amazon.